Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And last Thursday, we had such a response to Kurt Eichenwald's appearance on the program that we decided to follow up today with some advice for parents on the issues he raised. Now, Eichenwald was talking about his New York Times article on webcam teenage pornography. And after the show, we got a number of emails saying Eichenwald was wrong on one key point: how easy it is to monitor your kids' website usage history. Emailers told us it is much easier for kids to hide their real web activity than Eichenwald made it sound. So we decided to call an expert on parental monitoring and control of the internet at home and clear it up. We will also take your phone calls with any other questions on the parent-child internet relationship. With me now to share some ideas about this is Monique Nelson, Executive Vice President of WebWise Kids, an advocacy group for parents at webwisekids.org. Monique Nelson, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And let me jump right in on that issue that I raised, that a few listeners were actually very upset about how the exchange between Kurt Eichenwald and me went on this point. He suggested one way for parents to protect their kids was by examining their browser history, which lists the site that they visit. Usually you can click on a little arrow right by the web address at the top of the screen. But these listeners pointed out that it's really easy for a computer-savvy kid to cover up their internet tracks by deleting particular sites from the history folder, and that some browsers like Mozilla Firefox, which is becoming very popular and is free, make it that much easier than others. Is that true?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is true. I think that the key issue here is, do your kids know that you know? Because if they don't think you know too much about the internet, and by the way, so many parents really don't, even though they use computers and so forth at work, possibly even at home, most of what they know is email and, you know, just surfing the web, but they really don't know what their kids are really doing. So the kids
I think I'm pretty good at you know, knowing my way around computers. My son passed me at 12 and a half.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
A half a year ago.
Yeah. And so the kids, a lot of them, won't erase their history because they don't think that mom and dad know how to even check. But some of them who are into, you know, let's say pornography or whatever they're doing, probably are smart enough to delete the cache and delete, you know, everything that they've been on.
So on that small point, is there a foolproof way to track the sites that kids actually visit? So if they're going to something where they may become victims of webcam pornography lore or whatever it is, parents really can know?
There aren't any real full, I'd say 100%, but there are programs out there where you actually can track where your kids are going. Now, many parents, you know, object to this because they feel like they're, you know, big brother or whatever, and, you know, that's up to the parents. But there is a couple of sites out there, one that I can think of, where there's a full review of all of those kinds of filtering and monitoring software. We don't endorse any one because things keep changing so quickly, but you can get a very good review of those programs.
How effective is filtering software?
Much better than it was 10 years ago, I can tell you that.
What does it do?
Well, basically, it just filters out key words that the filtering company has put in. And there's, you know, there's lots of them. So anything that comes up that, you know, let's say, it used to be the parents objected because if you put the word in, let's say, chicken breast,
mm-hmm.
it would filter it out. Well, now they've refined it, you know, just as Microsoft has refined their program, so has the filtering world.
What do you mean, filter it out?
It completely blocks any sites that have certain keywords or even in some cases graphics.
In the web address or even within the content?
No, within the content.
Uh-huh.
So if let's say there's a pop-up, there tries to be a pop-up of porn, the filtering just blocks it out because it has certain words in there.
Now, after we heard about Justin Berry's story the other day, the kid who Kurt Eichenwald wrote about in the Times, that story that's been so widely emailed around the web, perhaps ironically, should kids have webcams at all, in your opinion? Now, Kurt said, in his opinion, there is no legitimate use for a webcam. Would you go that far?
Yes, I completely agree. The only way that I would say that they could have a webcam, which is one of the big problems that we have, is that no matter how many times a parent has heard, and I can testify on every site that deals with internet safety, what would you say is the first thing that we tell parents not to do?
What?
Have the computer, do not have the computer in the kid's bedroom. And guess where all the computers are?
In the kid's bedroom.
That's right. So if they have that access within the internet and a webcam, you're just asking for trouble. So if the computer's in the family room where parents are around, they have access, they can watch what's going on, that's fine. But truly, there's really no legitimate reason why they need it.
I understand that many new Apple Macs come shipped with a camera.
Yeah, I know, which I think is a huge mistake.
So what do they have in mind? They're not just trying to enable pornography, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. It's just the latest, greatest stuff, just like anything else. I mean, you know, they're going to market whatever they can. Of course, that's a big draw to kids.
We can take phone calls from parents. Any kids listening? We had that one homeschooled 9-year-old who called the other day. Any other kids, teenagers listening to this, trying to figure out how your parents are going to monitor you so you can beat them to the punch? Monique Nelson, Executive Vice President of WebWise Kids, at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Barbara in Florham Park, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, I have neighbors who have a technique that I think is pretty effective, and your guest just touched on part of it, which is that they don't have the computers in the kids' bedroom. They have them in an open area where the kids know that the parents can come by at any time, and the house rule is that they can look at whatever the kids are looking at. The other part of it is that they have passwords on their kids' accounts, mm-hmm. but they don't tell the kids the passwords.
That's right.
So they have to sign them into the computer. Now, is that an effective method?
Yes.
Okay.
That is an effective method. I'm glad you brought that up. We have a lot of parents that have done that, and I think that's an excellent method because we forget how many kids are really home alone mm-hmm. a good deal of the day when they come home from school, that both parents are working. It would be it's easy for them to get online and do pretty much whatever they want for mm-hmm. those few hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that was my question. And
okay.
my kids aren't there yet, but I'm looking ahead. So.
Good girl.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Barbara. Tom calling from Knoxville. You're on WNYC. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
Love your show. I just want to let you know that one thing that I do is I've installed a piece of software called VNC. It's virtual networking computing software where I can monitor the computer no matter where I am in the world. And I get I could actually manipulate the computer as if I was sitting at it, but primarily I use it just to watch the screen activity that comes across my home computer.
Right. So it's like you're the administrator of the network, and you can log in from anywhere and act as the administrator of the network.
Right. And also I actually see what is being typed. If she's in Word, Excel, AOL, whatever, I can actually see it real time. And I have a computer sitting in my office. I have a home office, and it has a video card in there that I hook up.
Let me stop you right there, Tom, because I have an IT-savvy person sitting across the glass from me who just piped in my ear, the kids can just close the software.
Right. One of the things is if it's closed, they lose their privileges, flat out.
And you can tell what, after the fact that it's closed?
Real time, because I have a connection up.
Oh, because you won't be able to access viewing what the screen activity is.
Correct.
Right.
And I have a computer at home.
So they can do it, but they can shut it down, but they can't shut it down without you knowing about it.
Correct.
And the other issue is that you seem very, you know, computer savvy. I would say 80% of the parents out there wouldn't even know what you're talking about, let alone able to install it and actually do it. And that's one of the real problems that we have is that unfortunately the kids are more savvy about these things than the parents are.
Most times they are, yes.
So, Tom, thank you very much. So if 80% of the parents aren't even up to speed to know what Tom is talking about, no less how to do it, where does that leave you as an advocate for protecting children?
Well, we're out there trying to educate parents, and one thing we have learned, I've been doing this for 10 years and speaking, you know, all over the country on this issue. And to try to get parents to come out even to listen or to try to learn about these things is just, it doesn't work. So we have actually just launched a new program for parents that they can download on their computer and work at any time they want. It's simple. It's easy for anyone to understand so that they can learn about some of these things and not only learn about what the problems are, but what to do about it.
By the way, your comments have spurred a rash of calls defending web cameras, like
okay.
from Tom in Manhattan. Hi, Tom. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How's it going?
How
Thank
you doing?
For taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying there's absolutely no purpose for these cameras, but, I mean, really what they're for is basically like, you know, that people used to say, wouldn't it be great if you could see the person you're speaking to on the other end of the phone? Remember, that was going to be the future, the two-way computer.
We're all going to have video phones.
Right. So say you're in a long-distance relationship and you want to chat with your girlfriend over in England before you go to bed at night, or your little kid wants to talk to his grandmother in China. You know what I mean? Those are very positive.
Right. That's why I said, if they're monitored.
Right.
If there's a place for it in the family room where parents can watch all of that going on, that's
right.
great. Or if you're an adult
right.
and you have a long-distance relationship, good for you. But you're not for 12 years old, and you're not in your bedroom by yourself doing whatever we kids do.
Tom, thanks a lot. And what do you think that kids are doing that is really the biggest threat to them? Since this is from, you know, from your perspective, I'm sure, not about controlling kids, it's about protecting kids.
Right.
So we heard about these webcam pornography lures from Kurt Eichenwald in his article. Is that the biggest threat?
Well, it's one of them, but actually we're launching another new game for high schoolers where it actually, a true story actually happened where girls, teenage girls, had a webcam, and a stalker actually planted a Trojan horse and was able to, and I'm not a computer guru, so don't ask me how it was done, but he actually could watch the girls even when, you know, when they weren't knowledgeable that they were.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of things that we're concerned about. And please, I don't want anybody to think that I love the Internet and all that it can do for us. My only concern is for kids. What adults do, the adults do. But, you know, we need to be responsible as adults and at least give the kids and the parents the tools to be able to keep their kids protected.
Dorothy in Queens, you're on WNYC with Monique Nelson from WebwiseKids.org.
Hi. First of all, compliments to Ms. Nelson. It sounds like a great organization, and I will contact you later offline from my school. Sadly, I am the parent of a son who got lost in the world of pornography through online, so I have personal experience about how this can, in the end, infect an entire family.
At what age, may I ask?
We know that his friends were accessing online before he could at home because he would bring home stuff as a 10-year-old.
Hmm.
In his backpack.
10-year-old.
And we know that as an 8-year-old, he had a neighbor who his parents did not monitor that he was watching Playboy Channel. We know that my more recent middle child at 10 came home eager to tell me about nakedwomen.com that he got to see at his friend's playdate.
Hmm.
So I think there are two things I'm going to add to this discussion, actually three. Please don't forget that the camera cell phone is just as viable communication for pornography.
That's
as
right.
The webcam, and kids are using that now. And any parent who gives their kid a camera cell phone might as well just give them a one-way ticket to Times Square and let them wander around and see what they can find.
Why? You don't mean because they're taking pictures, right?
They often are taking pictures of themselves and emailing it to others, playing with themselves. I don't want to get disgusting online. On your phone, but none of us can believe what our kids are doing. Before, we had none of this technology at home of webcams, et cetera, but I remember finding this girl who we were so thrilled my son was going to go out with, who we'd known since she was 5, as part of communication, and I too was monitoring, found that she'd sent him very provocative photographs of herself in the email. So you don't need a webcam to start doing this. The other possible thing that I would like your guests to discuss is the powerful seduction of the instant message.
Mm-hmm.
That we're talking about high technology, so I know too many parents say, oh, well, he only can instant message to the people he knows.
All right, Dorothy, I'm going to go because we're going to run out of time soon. You've put a lot of good stuff on the table. What about IM? A lot of people right now must be thinking, well, gee, instant message is just talking to somebody, it's just text.
Well, the problem with instant messaging is that she's exactly right. Of course, that is one of the new ways of communication, along with now MySpace, which is the biggest problem we have as I go out and talk to parents and teachers and so forth.
MySpace.com, what is it?
MySpace is an online, actually, just to break it down, it's like an online journal, a blog. But the kids are putting on very personal information, all of their very personal, meaning addresses, phone numbers, where they work, where they go to school.
Because it's supposed to, it's framed, it's billed as a safe space where teens can talk to other teens.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's my space away from my parents.
Yep, but it's not safe, and it's one of the biggest problems that the cops are having now to try to keep kids safe, and we're trying to alert parents as to, you know, to watch out for those things. Instant messaging is the way of life with kids. The problem is that they have their own e-language. So even if a parent was watching a kid instant message, pretty much they wouldn't be able to even understand what they're talking about because they have their own acronym language.
So in our last minute, here's one email that says, this parental supervision of web surfing discussion is the same one they used to have about the transistor radio. Oh, no, kids are listening to the radio outside parental control, rock and roll, that dirty, dirty music. Oh, no. And this recommendation of your group that you shouldn't let young kids use a PC on their own ever, to some people this will all sound extreme. We have 30 seconds left.
You know what? It's a parental choice of what they want to do, and we're certainly not telling parents what to do. We're just saying, be responsible. Look at what your kids are doing. Don't be naive that you think just because your sweet Johnny and Jane are sweet that they can't get in trouble, even if they're not looking for it.
Monique Nelson is the Executive Vice President of WebWise Kids at WebWiseKids.org. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Nuala McGovern produced this program with Ilya Marich, Jim Colgan, and Lisa Allison. Help today from Alan Smith. That's Debbie Daughtry riding the audio controls. Music provided by Soul Live. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.